Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our study of Titus chapter 1, we finished with verse 16. Today, we will be starting with our question and answer series.
Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
This is your radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom, welcoming you to another Lamp and Light broadcast. Well, we are so glad to have you listening with us, and also, this is a special time. We've been in the book of Titus. Now we're breaking from the book of Titus because this is when we get around Thanksgiving and Christmas time. We go into for about a month usually on questions and answers from our listeners. Now I must preface it this year that it is a little bit different than previous years for this reason. In the last year, I had 3 hemorrhagic strokes. Those strokes were brain bleeds that all bled out my optic nerves. So for a while, I could not drive a car, had a hard time trying to read. As a matter of fact, I could not read. I had to preach funerals and weddings strictly from memory. And it's good to memorize scriptures because there's a reason right there for a preacher to memorize them, because he still needs to preach the word. Those strokes did not affect my speech, did not affect my motor skills, my walking, did not affect my face. You know how sometimes the face draws up, and somebody said to me, your face would probably look better drawn up. But really, none of that happened. The only thing that's hit all 3 of those strokes, one after another, one month, another about a month or two later, and then the third one, I think we had one in March, one in April, and then the other one was in December. So that just tells you how those things come upon you. But the Lord has allowed me to preach, has allowed me to record for radio, although I had to be away from radio for a while. And although my driving is more by faith than it is by sight, I am able to drive a little bit now. So having said all of that, sounds like I'm making excuses, and probably I am. For a lot of it, I could not answer some questions. I couldn't see my emails. I could not read them because I could not see them. And so you may have sent in a question and I didn't get to it, or I didn't see it, because it just was that way during this past year. But things are starting to clear up, get a little bit better. And although my eyesight may never get back to what it was, praise God, at least now I can read the scriptures without having to listen to Alexander Skirby each time read them each day, which was not bad. It was really a good thing. But now getting back to studying it and reading that, and takes a lot longer now because it's not as easy for me to read because I still have sight problems. But nonetheless, we're back. And so enough of me. Let's get to your questions. All right, this first one. Dear preacher. Now, actually, you say you get some names said, dear Dr. Bloom, dear Brother Andy, dear pastor, dear whatever. And you know what? If you ask me, what do I like the best? I probably like dear preacher. He said, what's that? Well, you know, in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul called himself a preacher. In the Old Testament, King Solomon called himself a preacher. And then we find out, and you know, a lot of people don't realize this, Noah was called a preacher of righteousness in 2 Peter. So preacher seems to be a good name for a lot of good men. I don't fit in the category of any of those guys, let me say that. But I sure like the name preacher. More people said, no, you should go by the name teacher, because we learn so much from the teaching of the word as you do it. And I try to teach and preach. And so regardless, you just continue to call that God has you. God didn't take me home, so he still has a plan. And that's what we're continuing to do. So to read this letter, we start out by saying, dear preacher, this morning I was reading about Ahab getting the victory again with Syria. Because of God loving the people, not necessarily because of him, that is because of Ahab. But he messes up because he spared Ben-Hadad's life. Of course, we've seen this several times in the Bible with different rulers. It's just startling to me and really staring me in the face this morning with Ahab. At what point do we give people a second chance? And then at what point do we get rid of them out of our lives? Does the man of God get the word from God and he obeys, and that's how he knows to get rid of the enemy? Is that so? Because sometimes people mess up and we help to try to fix them. We can help salvage them, but then sometimes they continue to hurt us in the ministry. I teach in a Christian school, and I've also worked with small children in other ministries of our local church. And so I really want to continue in that ministry, and yet there are those who hurt us. Not that we regular people are not important to God, but would the command come directly to the leader? Vernon McGee says it best. We don't compromise when it comes to sin. Ben-Hadad does not really repent, but he just made a deal with Ahab. And I guess we wait for the enemy to repent first. Is that what it boils down to? Now, that's an interesting question. I'm not even sure I had that question in the past, so that is a good question. So my answer is, dear friend, thank you for your question. As I know, many have had to deal with this kind of problem, particularly in ministry. Now, in Matthew chapter 18, verses 20 through 35, now this is a long passage, but nonetheless, let me read that, because I believe it shows us the answer. After saying about those gathered in his name that he would be in the midst, then Peter asks a question. Now, in Ahab's situation, he's seeing the power of the Syrians. And, you know, the power of the Syrians was great, but God's given him a victory. He knows he was likely to lose his kingdom and life. He knows that. And yet, he does not repent. Even though he realizes to Ahab, although he was supposedly a Christian man, he messed up big time. I mean, really, he compromised. He could have wiped him out big time right then. He could have put him to death. So many things. Then Ahab has, well, he has compassion on him. So having thought of that, let me read the entire passage of Matthew 18 and verses 20 through 35, so it kind of gives us an idea of the answer I'm going to go into here. He says, "And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith of a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove thou hence into yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." You say, well, what in the world is that about, preacher? Well, remember, Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration. When he comes down, the nine disciples that didn't go up there with him, the Lord only took three, Peter, James, and John. And so the nine that are down at the bottom of the mountain, they've had somebody come to him, a man with his son, his little boy. Now, you're a teacher, so realize that this boy, we're not told how old he is, but he was filled with a demon. And the demon was trying to, in many ways, just kill him in a violent way. Times he caused him to fall in fire. Sometimes he caused him to be go into water and almost be drowned. So you see that devils can attack children, and people get upset when I say that. No, he can't do anything with children like that. Come on, he can't get our son, our teenage son even. You know, no, they're not. No, devils can do it. We see it happening in the Bible. Jesus cast a devil out of the Syrophoenician woman's daughter, who wasn't even with the Syrophoenician woman because she was back at home in bed. She was sick. She was on the dying way. There's a 12-year-old girl that Jesus raised from the dead. And so you think of those, how the Lord worked in those things. Now, Jesus cast out that demon immediately out of the boy when he came off the mountain. They said, your disciples couldn't do it. And all those disciples had gone out earlier in Matthew chapter 10, sent out by Jesus. And Jesus said, cast out devils, heal the sick, heal the lepers. And boy, he gave them these instructions and they went out and did it. So they're wondering, why can't we cast out this devil? And they're saying, well, one's your lack of faith. Your lack of faith. Now, if you had the faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say in this mountain, move down to yonder place. Nothing being impossible to you. But now in verse 21, he says, howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And the third day, he shall be raised again. Now, let me just stop there and say something. At the cross, it seems like the disciples have forsaken him and fled there to Gethsemane. And then, although John is there at the foot of the cross, the others are probably far off looking. But nonetheless, they should have really had faith that he's going to rise again. And this raising this, touching this boy and casting the devil out, he was using as an example the power that he had in his deity as the Son of God. And so, he says there again in verse 23 of Matthew 17, and they shall kill him, the Son of God, that is, Jesus Christ, and the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorry. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, doth not your master pay tribute? He saith, yes. And then he was come into the house, and Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom and tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Peter saith unto him, of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, then are the children free, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea, and cast an hook, and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money, and take and give to them for me and thee.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible says.